Our next segment focuses on Joan's response to a brother who is mean in every sense of the word. Then we'll respond to James's concern that his fiancée is enmeshed with her parents. After that, Sherry Keffer will share a short message on boiling pot relationships, followed by J.J. West's thoughts on emotional freedom.
We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to Joan in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, listening on YouTube.
Hi, yes. I just had a little bit of a little question here. I did call about this issue back in June, and I just want to say that I love you guys so much. All of you, it's amazing. I feel like you're my friends. I don't really know you, but I listen every day.
Well, come to California and hang out. You can come in studio. You can, watch us as we're in here. Yeah, we'd love to hang out.
Oh, my God, I would love that. Maybe one day. You never know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys were so very helpful and wise and understanding. I had a situation with, we lost our son back in April of 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He was 41.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was 41. It's just myself, my husband, and him. And my youngest brother, who's the only brother I have left, wrote a horrible letter to me. He's been very verbally abusive to my husband and to myself for many years, and we just kind of put up with it. The worst thing that he said a lot of nasty things. The worst thing he said was, "You never cared about him. You just let him die. You left him alone. You should have checked up on him."
Wow.
So it was just awful.
Wow.
Yes, awful. Awful. And Chris, you had mentioned that I mentioned something about, I think he's a narcissist, and you said, I'm going to take it a step further than that. And you said, well, he's dangerous. He's foolish and he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Jackie was there at the time, and she said, this is not the type of person that you want standing over you if, God forbid, you end up in an ICU ward or something, And yeah, so I have not had any contact with him. It's probably going to be about a year now, because around Thanksgiving of last year, this is when he actually came over after the letter was sent. I had him over here for a little bit. He didn't even show remorse or anything, and he twisted everything around and made it like about, you said this about this person. He didn't even, so I haven't had any contact, and I took your advice right away. Like, he's dangerous. I don't want anything to do with him. But it still grieves my heart.
Yes.
Because, he's the only brother I have left. All my other brothers have passed on. My parents have passed on. Yeah, so it's just really weird. It's just such a weird...
He sounds like such an angry person.
Yes.
He hasn't dealt with his issues from childhood and from the family.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I mean, to blame someone who has lost a child of any age.
It's the ultimate of cruelty.
It's so cruel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I we hate for family members to have to be separated and to not be in relationship. Yeah. But you can only be in relationship to the degree that you feel safe.
Yeah.
Right,
absolutely. Yep, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel safe around. I never really did, and now I absolutely will not subject myself or my husband, to that, to being around him. Yeah. So I just wanted to get you guys, insight into that.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the really challenging aspects of this, Joan, I actually talk about this a lot because it's been my experience. The dad I needed is not the dad I got.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The brother you need right now is not the brother you got. Mm-hmm. And so there is what we refer to as a living grief. And the living grief is that I'm losing that which I never had.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
And I'm not going to get.
Nope.
But there's this other person who has the title who can't fulfill the role.
Yeah.
Right. The job description of brother, he cannot fulfill, but he has the title.
But because he's there, our mind wants him to fulfill it. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's what a brother is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. In a healthy situation. Mm-hmm. But this is a brother that I would almost call him mentally ill.
I think that I remember talking to you, Joan. I remember that. I was like, is there some narcissism? I'm like, there's some sociopathy going on here. There's some really dangerous things that are happening that really concern me for safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Joan, I want to say something to you. I want to say that you're not defined by your brother's words. Sometimes when people say not only just hurtful things, but dangerous things. You know, we, mm-hmm. we begin to define ourselves as that. Well, you know, maybe he's right, maybe he's not. You know what? He's not right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're not defined by his words. And we got to somehow, we have to do the work within our own soul to understand that. But we're really defined by the words of God and the words of people who love us and our loving community around us. And I'm sure there were people, even in that very tough time with mm-hmm. your son back in 2021, mm-hmm. who came around you. Well, listen to those words. Mm-hmm. But you're not defined by your brother's yeah. words. And you can't be. And again, I'm sorry that your brother is like this, but to lower your expectations, I mean, to be honest, you're probably never going to have the loving relationship that you would hope for with a brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that just doesn't work. So you lower the expectations, but please hear that you're not defined by his words.
Well, and also the fact that he was probably really angry that your son died, as well as all of the rest of your family. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining. Yeah. And how he's dealing with it, though, sounds very different than how you're dealing with it. And so in his anger and upset, he's lashing out and blaming. Yeah. And that keeps him stuck.
Yeah. You know, I see it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Unresolved, unprocessed grief leaks out.
Yep.
And it doesn't. Yeah. And it leaks out in toxins.
Yeah, and it snowballs, right? Each grief snowballs.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many addictive processes that I've treated over the years that can be traced back to unresolved grief.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You know, and
so. Oh, my goodness. Yep.
That's a good lesson for us, Chris, because a lot of us don't know how to deal with our grief.
No.
And so even in a situation, the healthiest thing that, Joan, you can do is continue the process of getting healed through the kind of grief that you do have, not the kind of grief that he laid on you, but your own grief. In that, you know, as somebody once said here in the studio, if you don't heal, you will repeat. Mm-hmm. And so, this is the time to repeat, to heal and do the process, do whatever process that takes for you. And you sound like that kind of person. You sound like you get that. So sound like a wonderful person. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are great.
Oh, Joan, well, thank you. And again, I said serious, that invitation to come out here, hang out with us in the studio. We had some guests last week. It was so much fun to meet them and to have them here. And and I hear your heart and it enlivens my heart. Joan, you are a delight. Yeah. And so we are going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. And I just want to encourage us all out there, life on planet Earth for any given amount of time is going to come with grief. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a reminder. In Isaiah, Jesus is referred to, or the Messiah is referred to, as a man who is acquainted with many sorrows. And so I like to say it like this. We better get acquainted with the man who is acquainted with many sorrows when we're in sorrow.